So, hey, I
Yeah.
want to share a call with you I had today. It's so funny. Like,
Okay.
I was taking this call. So after introducing myself to the client, and the client, he said, "Or interpreter, you can introduce yourself to the patient, and then we will take it from there." So I said, "Lei ho," I just said, "Lei ho," he said, "Diu, wo
Ayo.
dai dou wo yok lei tim." And the client just turned around and said, "Interpreter, what happened?" I said, "Oh, he just said, oh, snap, I didn't bring my medication." So, oh,
Wow.
really? I just thought that he was angry at me. Did I do something? So is that what it is? He forgot to bring his medication. Let me ask him. So I ask,
哇！佢讲咗屌咁多次噶啦
seriously, 佢真系个屌咁多次。
，in front of the
So,
doctor。
yeah, but the doctor doesn't speak Cantonese,
True。
so I had to interpret, right?
Yeah。
And
What did you say？
yeah, I wanted to say F, but then I thought, okay, because of the protocols we have to follow. So, I mean, there's so many ways to say "dude," even in English, right? So I say, "Ah, snap," or "crap." I can always say that. I don't have to say the F word. So I just say, "Ah, snap." Yes, I forgot to bring my medication because the doctor told me to. And the client was laughing, and then the client was saying, "Oh, that's okay. It's all right. I mean, we'll go through the list from the computer, and then you just go through, to say whether you when's the last time you took it, the same questions they ask all the patients." And when I told that to the LEP, and the LEP person was saying that, "I don't know English, another one. So I said the same thing. I said, "Because I don't know English, that's why I'm supposed to have my medication with me." Ah, crap. So the client was laughing. I mean, it's one of those things that make the call a little fun sometimes. I mean, we do have really stressful calls.
It does.
Sometimes it could be death, sometimes it would be really fast, But yeah, occasionally, I mean, we do have fun, with calls. What about you? Anything interesting?
Yeah, at least yours answered the question. Mine doesn't answer the question. I was asking, the doc, it was a 系个心脏科医生嚟噶，咁样去睇个心脏科，睇同佢检查完啦。跟住佢就問翻咁樣嘅醫生啊，檢查完啦，跟住佢就個醫生就問佢啦，仲有冇其他問題想問啊？我咪 interpret 咯，Is there anything else that you want to ask？咁個病人個 LEP 又講我，喂醫生醫生，咁樣我啱啱做完手術，我膝頭開始痛喎，係咪
Yes, not
手術
related, man.
整？Exactly. So I was anticipating what the doctor's gonna say. Oh, I was anticipating that the doctor would just say, "Oh, I'm a cardiologist. This has got nothing to do. You might need to go see orthopedics." Well, no. The doctor was saying, the knee is very far from your heart. Oh boy,
I think
it
the
really
client is just being polite. Don't want to say,
probably, yeah.
the doctor's not saying that that's not my problem. Then you have to see someone else for that. I'm only a cardiologist. But I think he's just being lighthearted, he's just taking it light and just say
Correct.
that,
I think so
oh,
too,
the knee and the
yeah.
heart is too far away,
But really, staying professional, I can't laugh.
Of
So I
course.
just have to hold everything in and 先生，你嘅膝头同你嘅心系好远噶。So I just have to say that. Oh boy, I have to keep that call, I just have to keep compose my cool and get through with that call. And oh boy, I have to call on a break and I start laughing after that. That was fun, actually. That was quite fun, but not every day we get a fun call, isn't it?
It's true because sometimes call can be really challenging, and we don't know every time when the phone rings, We don't know what to expect.
We don't know exactly.
The only thing we can see is where it's calling from, but we don't know for sure whether this is something's going to be a positive one, negative one. Is it going to be, you know, a really quick one? Because sometimes we do get calls that really last less than a minute. Even our opening is longer than that. And all they want to do is, interpreter, can you please ask the patient what is it they are trying to tell me? And when you go ahead and ask the patient, and they will just say, I just want to use the bathroom.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'll help you. And that's it. That's the end of the call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes it can be a really difficult one. For example, sometimes, you know, when, you know, I'm a VRI, as you know, and after my introduction, I will actually see the doctors are talking among themselves, and I kind of know, oh no, this is not going to be good, because they are very serious. They are talking among themselves. And sure enough, they will say, interpreter, just heads up, this is going to be quite a difficult call. We are here with different specialists, different doctors. We are going to be talking to the patient's family about hospice. So, and the next thing you know, they will tell me the same thing I anticipated. We're going to wheel you into a room. So we have the family members to ask and, you know, all the questions they have. And sure enough, it's going to be a really tough one. It's really, really tough. Yeah. So, you know, it's really difficult for us to emotionally be prepared for anything. It could be a nice one. It could be a funny one. It could be a lighthearted one. It can be, you know, anything under the sky. Just like as people say, you know, life is a box of chocolates, you know, and we just don't know. So we just have to be professional and be ready, you know. So yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are asking us, like, hey guys, you know, why a podcast? Are you guys going to be like training people, telling them how to be a good interpreter? No, I don't think that is what we want to do at all. And if people want to be an interpreter, I'm sure they have their own reasons, right? And
find a thousand of info out there.
Yeah, exactly. And they, if they wanted to learn more other than training provided by the company or even from a training school that they graduated from, I'm sure there are plenty of really professional interpreters out there having YouTube videos to share tips and what to do. But it's not what we want to do, because that's not why we have this podcast in the first place. So it's more like sharing our experience and our life as an interpreter, you know?
Yeah. And hopefully at this, you know, sharing all this, there are, because we work at night and we are working outside of US. So we work at night, we work from home. And when you are not in an office environment and you're working alone and you have a difficult call, we need to give that, we need to extend our support to those people, to other interpreters who are going through something. You know, they can't just cope up in the room and, you know, absorb everything. Sometimes it's good to just let it out. And yeah, so probably we can do something for them as well.
Yeah, because it's a few things, because on one hand, we can't disclose anything, but at the same time, when we go through a really difficult call, we were advised to just log off, have a shower, have a cup of tea, whatever, and then you log back again. But over time, when you accumulate these negative emotions, it's not healthy. Right? It's not healthy. And usually when you join a wave, you know, a new class, and there are different people who are different languages who are also participating in the onboarding training process. So even if you don't meet, and so happen, if you're unlucky, your language is, and you're the only one, and you have different wave mates who are different languages, like Vietnamese, Mandarin, Arab, whatever. And you want to share a call that you're not familiar with, there's no one to share with. Even if they want to help, yeah, they wouldn't know how to share with you in your target language, right?
Mm-hmm.
English is fine, but then your target language, like for me, I'm Cantonese, you know, you're Cantonese. But what if our wave group are more Vietnamese or Arab or other languages that it is just outside of Cantonese? It's not something we can just share. Sometimes I just like to say, oh, how do you interpret this? And of course, our team leaders are so busy. They are not going to be able to help us that much because they have so many other things to do and with other interpreters to support. So I believe the support is very important. You know, the support group is very, very important. And I'm not saying that we want to form a little group so that we can, you know, share or disclose confidential information, but at least share, you know, how you feel. You just want to let it out, you know, other than just sharing terminologies or experience of calls. Of course, that would be fun, but then sometimes it's really hard. You know, I get hit so many times, difficult calls. I do not have anyone to speak to. Like you said earlier, our shift, you know, is a graveyard shift and we work from home. It is off-site. And most of our friends are sleeping. And even if you want to send them a text, you won't get an instant reply. And even though they would, we can't tell them that much, so it's kind of pointless in a way. So that's why this podcast is to share how the interpreters cope, how they can get support, and of course we can always share stories. So I also noticed one thing, Caroline, is whenever I go online, I try to look for videos about interpreters, and unfortunately, I'm not saying that the content is not good. They are really nice, they are really informative, and I actually refer back to them as well, but I feel they are not getting the traffic that they deserve, because the people who are searching for these videos are interpreters who need more advice. They want to improve more, they want to get more tips. And what more than to ask, you know, tips from interpreters with experience, right? So, of course, you go Google, and the first place you go to, YouTube. So I actually gone through a lot of videos. A lot of them are very useful. They tell you, you know, how to train, how to do better, attentive listening, note-taking, short-term, long-term memory, languages, etc. There's so many out there. That's why we don't need to do that. You know, they do such a good job already. But I notice at the same time, the traffic that they're getting, it's really sad. I mean, they should get more. Unfortunately, these are people who want to practice. They want to know more. These are interpreters to be who wants to improve. But it does not reflect our life as an interpreter. What we go through and how we have gone through the rigorous training, and the calls, especially from OPI, you know, over the phone interpreters, back to back, different industries, non-stop. No job is easy. A lot of people just think, you know, what's so difficult? You just need to be fluent in two languages, English, you know, your source and the targeting, you know, so it's English and another language. But it's not true. You know, even if you have all these languages, you grew up with these languages, which is a good foundation, but you still need these skills. And even with these skills, it's how you manage the call, right? So managing the call is just one aspect of it. It's how you react. Sometimes the client can be very agitated. Maybe they were in a bad mood. Maybe they're in a hurry, and you know, they just release stress on you as if it's, you know, the interpreters who've done wrong, but it's not. And we have to understand that sometimes it's not their fault too. They're just out of, you know, agitated. They're just being agitated. So that's why they release it on us. But that's why we, we just want to share that side of the story. But at the same time, yeah, it's not always negative. Yeah, we had like what I experienced earlier, like what you experienced mm-hmm. earlier. These are yeah. fun things that we want to share. You know, we want the people to know that, you know, it is fun to be an interpreter too. Why we pick this job? Yeah, we do. One of our goal is to help people. Yeah, help people who cannot communicate. We want to be the bridge. You know, we are the conduit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want to help the clients do their job, to help their patients or help their customers or clients. That is one thing. But yeah, people are just not going deep enough to understand how it is, you know, to be an interpreter. Yeah. They thought, you're just sitting down with two languages, put your headset on, and then you just talk as you talk.
Oh, it's more than that.
Yeah. So that's why this podcast is here to share. So we are going to be making things fun. You know, we want people to get involved. We are going to have guests. We have a list of them already. You know, we have other interpreters from different languages. We have team leaders, et cetera, et cetera, you know, to share what it is. We might even find, you know, get a few people who's going to support what we say about mental support for interpreters. Just skill, you know, because there's so many out there already, but we want people to have a glimpse of our life as interpreters so that they have better understanding how interpreters work, you know, what is their job, why there are certain things that we cannot do. because a lot of the clients or the LEP person, they're wondering, why can't you do like this? Why can't you do it like that? Why can't you be more flexible? Unfortunately, interpreters have to follow the guidelines. Being interpreters, we cannot take things personal. We cannot give you opinions. We cannot just assume things because we don't know you. We don't know the client. We don't know how well you all know each other. We don't know anything. You know, we are just there for the job at that particular time. So we cannot just assume anything at all, right? So that's why I hope this podcast is going to give them a glimpse of why we couldn't do certain things and what kind of calls we actually get and how we actually distress ourselves, how we support each other. And I think it's a really positive thing, you know, that everybody should, not just interpreters, you know, anyone. For those who are interested to know how an interpreter works, we can always share that. You have questions you want to ask, we can always share that. Because before I was an interpreter, I would tell you 10 years ago, be an interpreter, you're nuts. It's boring. It's boring.
Yeah.
But after, you know, during the pandemic, you know, my company was affected as well, just like any other company. So, of course, we needed to survive, right? And my friend said, why don't you try being an interpreter? Something that I said no many years ago. And, of course, because we needed to survive, so I went ahead. Wow, the training was just really tough. And that was the peak of COVID. People were dying. Hospitals were overloaded, overcrowded. Right. It's a brink of collapse. And it was really difficult. Yeah. We see people die. We see families unable to see each other. The saddest thing I've seen is the nurse holding up their phone and said, I can only FaceTime, let you all FaceTime and say your goodbyes or say hi. That is sad. Yeah. So it was really stressful. And after things eased, I did not want to go back to my company. I said, no, this is much, much more meaningful. I get to see a glimpse of a family, you know, how they work together, how they love each other, how they support each other. They came into the hospital, they left, they came in because of cancer or any problem, then, you know, they were able to leave and lead a healthy life. Some unfortunate, they die in the hospital. So these are really difficult, you know, things that we have to go through. Yeah. And we need to share, you know. So, yeah, it's a platform that we like everybody to participate, not just interpreters, but, you know, people. They want to understand, you know, why there's certain things that we cannot do and how people cope with, you know.
Precisely.
Yeah, yes. So how do people cope?
Precisely. Mental health, you know, people may mistake us as just interpreters who knows, like you said, who knows two language, and we just interpret in between. But I think a lot of the times, we are not robots, you know. We give our empathy to that call, but at the same time, most of the time we don't realize that what that call did, is that does the call give us anything? Yes, it does. A lot of emotion, because there's just a couple of, probably an hour of that entire shift that you have that difficult call that you feel, but it makes a lot of impact. We cannot just suppress everything inside and then, okay, let's move on to the next one. So with this platform, I really hope that, you know, they don't have to share with us, but at least when we share our experience, they don't feel like they're alone. They're not the only one person that's going through it. And, you know, some people just don't like sharing, but, you know, once they know that other people is going through the same thing, then they will feel much better. I'm not alone. Given that we're already working from home, graveyard shift and everything. So I think this outreach is what is this channel, what is this podcast is actually. There's a lot of information, how to skill up your note-taking. That's a lot of information. But so far, like I say, I've gone through YouTube myself. I don't find any information that like, okay, what does exactly an interpreter do on the call? How do they digest that information? How do they digest the emotion? You know?
Absolutely. I think this platform is more like a place, a playground that people can share the experience. It can be anonymous. They can come up and say, oh, my name is so-and-so, I'm from which country, or, you know, what language I'm actually interpreting. They don't even need to if they don't want to. Randomly, anonymously, they can just share, say, hey, guys, you know, I hear you and I agree. And it is true. Sometimes this job just feels so alone.
Yes.
Because when we join in a wave group, we may not know everybody and they may not be the same language. So sometimes we can share experience and that's about it, but it's different. It's still different.
If
you are a different language or target language, it is still different because the culture itself is different. So that's why we are opening up for anyone. I mean, you don't even need to be an interpreter. You can say, you know, can I share anonymously, you know, this is what my experience is with an interpreter. You know, in a hospital, I did not speak English and then they were using this interpreter service. I think it's good or I think it's bad. Just share, you know, anything that you think that, you know, can enlighten yourself, enlighten us, you know, what you think using an interpreter service feel like, then we can also reflect on ourselves when we do our job. We have, you know, in mind what you were sharing with us, and maybe who knows, we can improve in that. There are certain things that we cannot do. We have to follow through company policy, you know, the guidelines that we have to follow. There are many, many things that we are unfortunately unable to change, but in terms of the service, in terms of empathy, in terms of the way we interpret, maybe there is something that we can do as individuals or interpreters that we can approach you when we interpret. So yeah, there are so many ways for us to improve. It is always changing because we are dealing with people here, right? 每个人都不同的嘛, we are all different. Yeah, some people are long-winded. Someone, you know, don't speak at all. I mean, I'm sure you, you know, Caroline, just like me and all the interpreters that we know. Sometimes the LAP person, for some reason, we don't know why, but they don't give you straightforward answers. The doctor will say, any pain here, any pain anywhere, and they will give you once upon a time, this happened, and what's worse, after the once upon a time story, they still do not tell you if there's any pain or whether the pain is related. They don't even tell you. We don't know why. You know, I don't know whether they are because they are lonely, they want someone to speak to, but it's sometimes so frustrating. I mean, we get blamed from the client. Are you asking the right question, interpreter? Are you sure you asked the right question? Are you sure you interpreted, you know, accurately? So we get the blame too. So at times, we are not allowed to interject or interrupt the LAP person, and definitely not the client. Yeah, but I think we are able to gauge that, okay, if a client were to ask a yes-no question, even if the client don't understand yes-no in our language, but a yes-no would not be once upon a time, right? So they are, I'm sure they know, this is not a yes or no, because the LAP, is just, the patient is just talking.
Just
so I think it's our job to excuse them and pardon, sorry, sir, you know, the doctor is asking yes or no, if you have this, can you please answer this question? And you bring them back.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes, yes. Like you said, you know, after the, you know, operation, my knee hurts. Yeah, unfortunately, the heart and the knee is really far apart. It's not related. Yeah. So the patient, the LAP person are always the same. We don't understand why they cannot just give you a straightforward answer. You know, interesting enough, it's not just Cantonese. I get complaints from Mandarin interpreters too, Vietnamese. Any other language, Spanish too, Russian. When the client is asking a question, they don't give you a straightforward answer.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And sometimes it gets so bad. And really, I don't understand why LAP, you know, or their family would do that. But I have interpreters share with me, say, Jen, you know, sometimes it's, this job is amazing. I love this job. But sometimes it is the people that we are dealing with. I don't know whether this is a Chinese trait or is it just in general LAP person does that. So I was asking, okay, so what happened? And she told me, I was on a call. The client was asking me something about the phone or something. And I asked the LAP person. And the LAP person replied and say, oh, so I would interpret back to the client and said, oh, my phone is not working, or my phone is, you know, broken or whatever. And she heard the LAP person's daughter yell out, no, wrong. She said, cannot download the app. So she got so annoyed. She had to defend herself, right? Otherwise, right. The client might report her and say, oh, this interpreter misinterpreted. So she spoke up and said, this is an interpreter. I stand by my rendition. Your customer said, which translates to my phone is not working or my phone is broken. And the family member just kept quiet. You know, I don't know why they do things like this. I mean, we are here to help you communicate with the client. You know, we're helping you. We're not here to make you look foolish that you don't speak English, now you need me. No, we're not. That is not the purpose of our job at all. We are there to help you. The client call us not to make fun of you. They call us to support you, respect you that you don't speak English, and we, you know, are trying to help you. But instead, you want to turn it around and making the interpreter look foolish in front of the client. And some clients can really be nasty.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
they would just say that, are you sure you interpreted correctly?
Correctly, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a matter of how you have to speak up for yourself at times. I'm not asking you to argue with the LAP person.
No.
I'm not asking you to argue with the client. Definitely not argue. But you have to use your tool and say, no, I stand by my rendition because your customer said this. Like my ngogatima waijo means my phone is broken. Mm-hmm. You know, my phone is not working. You know, what the LAP's daughter is saying that, oh, I cannot download the app. That is totally different. Mm-hmm. So, but the question is, why do we have to go to that extent, right? Why? We should not need to, but we are there to help. And that is why this podcast, this, you know, this community is so important, that we have to support, you know, all the interpreters. We understand you. We understand your pain, your challenges, because we are one of you. And we are not here to fault the LAP person or the client. Mm-hmm. We are just here to share our world, our experience, mm-hmm. and then you have a place that you know we all speak your language. We have been through your pain. We understand your challenges. And if you want to talk about it, we're always here. You want to share it online, you know, on the community, we are there too. You know, so I see this really positive support group, this support system. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if an amateur or a newbie wanted to ask us some tips about how to handle certain calls, what is our advice, of course, we are willing to do that too. Yeah, but the podcast is more, you know, more fun thing for us to have fun, to share, you know, the calls that we get daily. That is, I think, what we are hoping to achieve. But yes, definitely welcome anyone, any questions you want to ask us, anything you want to share, anything, whether you are an interpreter sharing your calls, whether you are someone who used an interpreter before, and what you think interpreters should do to help them better. Yeah. And then, you know, we're not saying that why we don't do it. We are not justifying it. We're just explaining to you there are certain things that we are not allowed to do. And it's for you to understand that we have to follow certain protocols. And hopefully when you encountered an interpreter, you will understand why there are certain things you cannot do.
Yeah.
Then maybe you will know how to use our service too. Just like a client would need to, you know, we need time to know how to use or work with the interpreter. Same thing, because some clients will, you know, they will talk really, really long sentences as if we are recording, but we are not. Yeah.
Not.
And some of them would be going back and forth. And it's really difficult for us to do our job too. Yeah. So sometimes we use our tool to get repetition, get shorter sentences. We need to clarify. We need definitions. It's not because we don't know our job, but it is difficult because everyone speaks differently, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone has a style.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people have accents. Some people they have to recap everything. They have to sometimes scratch that after long sentences. You take out all your notes. They will say scratch that.
You say that.
They do that. Yeah, they do say scratch that, and then we have to take our notes all over again while we are already ready to interpret. So there's so many things that are going on in a call. These are live calls. These are not pre-recorded. You know, we don't listen and then we think what's the best way to interpret them. So we are live subtitles, captions. So that's why they have to understand it's not so easy. Sometimes the LAP person will go on and on and on and on and on and still not to the point what they want to say to the doctor. And that is really frustrating, because do we stop you? Do we not stop you? Do we tell the patient to stop and then inform the client that, you know, it's unrelated already, you know, to your question? So it's really difficult, you know, how we handle it. Yeah. So that's why, you know, share your experience with us. You know, as we go along, it's going to get better. This podcast is going to get better. This is the pilot, as we call it. Yeah. So we want to have a foot and see, you know, how else we can do this better and improve from there, give us feedback, you know. So thank you all of you for tuning in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we should also share about what we're going to talk about next. We have some materials, right? prepare for our listeners.
Hmm. I think we should talk about what people have been worried or interpreters are worried about AI. I'm not sure whether you agree or not.
Yes.
Everyone has been talking about AI. Oh, one day they're going to take over our jobs. I'm sure our jobs are going to be in jeopardy. We are going to suffer. We're going to lose our jobs. I don't think so, but who knows? We are going to talk about this and maybe we'll put AI to the test. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Until the next time, happy interpreting.